Welcome back, everybody, to Amud Yomi, Terps Daf Kuv Zayin, Amaze 107B, and we are on the very bottom of Daf Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara we just started is the beginning of the 14th paragraph of Mesechta Shabbos, Shmona Shratzim, talking about the 8 types of Shratzim that are mentioned explicitly in the Torah. And the Gemara was talking about the fact that there is a machlokes about whether these Shmona Shratzim have skin or not, because this is an important conversational Indian Tumah, but also for Shabbos, because if you're going to bruise them, say, are you going to be chayav? Maybe it might only depend on whether there's skin or not for Tzoveya or Netiyas Neshama. We'll talk about which Malacha exactly it is in a little bit, but it seemed to come out there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chacham. The Gemara seemed to imply that when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there's no machlokas and everyone agrees that you'd be chayv. So ask the Gemara though, well, in Shabbos lo pigi, is it really true that there's no machlokas when it comes to Shabbos? V'atani, but it's found in Brisat Sadach Mishmona Shratzim Amurim b'Torah. That if someone traps one of these Shmona Shratzim that are mentioned in Torah, Chovah, and if someone bruises them, chayv to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. They're going to be chayv if you bruise them. V'Chachamim Omrim, Ein or elo lamasha manu chacham. V'chachamim say there's only skin by the Shmona Shratzim that were explicitly mentioned by the Rabbanan in the Mishnah in Chuin. Now the problem with that is that when the Mishnah in Chuin goes through the Shmona Shratzim, it explicitly lists the four that do not have skin. So Adarabba, says the Gemara, lamasha manu chachamim ein lahemor. Rather, it's the opposite, meaning they only said explicitly the ones that do not have skin. So how do we answer that problem? V'amar Abayi says, achi kamar ein or achelak mibasar elo lamasha lo manu chacham. What it really means to say is the chachamim are saying the only ones that have skin are the ones that are not explicitly said by the Chachamim in the Mishnah in Chulin, but we see from here, either way, that only 4 out of the 8 have skin, and the other ones would not. So we see that it would be a machlokes, whether it's by Shabbos and whether it's by Hilchos Tuma as well. So how do we answer this question? So Amar Rava. Rava comes and says, Halamashin Manu Chacham Kamar. Really, the Brisa says that which the Rabbanan did enumerate, not which ones that they did not enumerate, meaning the initial problem we have with that Mishnah Chulin, because they only said the ones that don't have skin, but really this Brisa says that we're talking about the ones that the Chachamim did explicitly say. So what's the answer? How can we answer this? Elamar Rava Hachi Kamar, Ein Or Mitamik Kibasar Elamashin Manu Chacham. Rather, what it's really talking about, it's a specific law in Hilchos Tuma, which is saying that the skin doesn't convey Tuma like the flesh, except for those shratim that were enumerated in the Mishnah in Chulin. But this is a specific machlokas by Hilchos Tuma, but by Hilchos Shabbos they would fully agree. So we see that this shita of Rav, that they would agree by Shabbos, could still fully be intact. Mikal der Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Hanach Nami lo delo manu chachamim mitamim. Now comes Gemara and rejects the shita of Rav, because what this comes to imply is that even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he would say even the skin of those shratzim not mentioned in the Rabbanan by the Mishnah would also convey tuma. V'hakatani, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, shmona shratzim yesh lehen oros v'lo mitamim. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri explicitly says they're shmona shratzim and they don't convey any tuma at all. So if you're going to interpret it like Rav did, it would come out that even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would say that there's some tuma, but there's definitely not. Amar Rav Adabar Masna, so a third interpretation of this brisa, te ratzachi, we should say this. Ein or lamasha manu chacham. So when it comes to tuma, so those shratzim that are mentioned by the Rabbanan in the Mishnah in Chulin, those do not have skin. However, but by Shabbos, what would come out is they would be modad, that there would be skin, and this is how we can solve it to say that they really are all agreeing by Hilcho Shabbos. But now I ask the Gemara, though, v'akati l'inyan Shabbos lo pligi, is it really still possible to say that they all agree l'inyan Shabbos? So I'll tell you, but it was done on another brisa. Hatzal echa mishmona shratzim amura b'torah achov v'hen chayev b'shratzim shiyesh lahen oros. So comes the brisa and says that if someone damages and bruises any of these shmona shratzim, you're going to be chayev, but only in the case when the shratzim have skin. Now the brisa continues, v'ezwi chabur sheino chazaris, and what is the minimum amount of chovel that someone's going to be chayev for? So this is known as a chabura that will not return. So what is this? Nitzra hadam afa pishalo yatza. So this is referring to a situation where the blood collects under the skin, even if it doesn't come out, still you've changed it to a way that it's not going to get back to its normal place. The blood's not going to flow in the regular way. This is basically a bruise. So we see that that's the shear for this chavela. Now the brisa goes and brings a secondary shita to this first shita, to this Tanakhama, and says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that the 8 shratzim all have skin. What seems to come out from here is from this brisa is that the first shita in this brisa is clearly the chachamim, and not assuming that all of them have skin, from the fact that we said Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri comes and argues and says that all of them do have skin. So we see that there is a machlokes in Hilchos Shabbos as well. So answers the Gemara, Amar Ravashi, man Tanakhama. Who's the Tanakhama? You were assuming that it's the chachamim, and the chachamim are the ones who would then disagree and not hold that all of them have skin. There'd be a machlokes by Shabbos also. That's not necessarily true, because the Tanakhama here of this brisa is Rabbi Yehuda, the Azil Basar Gishta, who follows the thickness of the Sheretz's skin. It's not, how do we know this? Because there's a Mishnah in Chulin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Halta Kachulda, that the Lata is like the Chulda, in that its skin is not going to have any Tumah, because it's very thick, of all Rabbanah, but the Chachamim, to plead Yalid Rabbi Yochanan Minuri in Tumah, the Indian Shabbos Module, but Rabbi Yochanan Minuri and the Rabbanan, which are the two Shitas that we've been trying to reconcile, they would all agree when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, that you are always going to be Chayv. Ihachi, but if this is so, Hadavri Rabbi Yochanan Yochanan ben Nuri, did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri machu koso mi bailei? When we said in the first brisa that these are the words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it should have said that these are the words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and those who argue with him, if everyone's agreeing by Hilchos Shabbos. Answers the Gemara today, okay, inachanami, fine. Did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri machu koso? Fine. Don't bring me a question on that. You could have just said that also. That's going to be totally fine. Now we go back to the part in the brisa where we just mentioned that a chabura is measured by the fact that it's not going to go back. It's irreversible. It's now stuck where it is. So how do we know that this is the shear for wounding, that it has to be an irreversible type of damage? Because the pasuk in Yirmiya tells us, can a kushi go and change his skin and a leopard its spots? My chabur rosav ilema dekai rikme rikme. If you're talking about that, it's the color patches. Hi v'namer chabur rosav. But we have this phrase of the namer v'charbubosav, that a leopard and its charbubos, namer gavana mi bailei. It should have said a leopard and its colors. Ella, what's it talking about? Kaba kakushi. It's talking about similar to a kushi, that this is what the wounding shear is going to be like. A kushi, that ma oro de kushi ina chozer, is just like the skin of a kushi is irreversible. It can't just change color. Av chabura ina chozer, so to a wound is not able to be reversible. That's when you're going to be chai. Good. Then the Mishnah went on and said, shkar shkatim, that the rest of the types of creepy crawlers, someone who bruised them, is going to be pater. So says the Gemara, this seems to imply that only bruising is going to be pater, but hahor gan chayv. But if you kill them, you're going to be chayv. So who's the Tana of this man? Tana, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Eliezer. He it's Rabbi Eliezer. Ditanya, because Rabbi Eliezer says in a brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer hahori kina b'shabbos kahori gamal b'shabbos. That someone who kills a louse on Shabbos is as if they killed a camel on Shabbos. I mean, don't think that one's tiny, one's huge. Rather, anytime you kill anything on Shabbat, you are going to be chayv. Maskevor Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says that it's not necessarily Rabbi Eliezer is going to be the author, because Ad kam lo pigi Rabbanan al Rabbi Eliezer al bikina, because the Rabbanan only argue on Rabbi Eliezer when it comes to this louse, meaning generally they would agree that any type of killing is a killing, but it's only the chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer that even a louse is going to be chayv. Why de'ina par avarava? Because a louse doesn't reproduce, and still they think that that's going to make you chayv for killing. Aval shar shkatzim ramasim, but every other type of vermin and creepy crawler, Parim v'Ravim, which do reproduce, lo pligi, they don't disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. And they agree that one is going to be chayv for killing even the tiniest of insects. And comes the Gemara and says, Ushneim olam du'al me'ilim. And both Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, they both learned their shita from the rams that were used in the construction of the Mikdash. What does this mean? Rabbi Eliezer savar ke'ilim. So Rabbi Eliezer says that just like the ilim ha'ilim sheish bahen netilas neshama, just as killing one of those rams involves taking of a life, netilas neshama, af kol sheish bo netilas neshama. So to any taking of a life, any living thing that's now killed is going to be an issue no matter how big or small. Rabbanan savar ke'ilim. The Rabbanan, though, disagree a little bit, and they say it's like the rams. In which way? Ma ilam de par meravim, just as the rams reproduce, af kol de par verava. So to any living thing that reproduces, if you kill it, you are going to be chayev, which comes to exclude a louse. Again, in the Hava, I mean, even though scientifically it has been proven wrong, coming to exclude a louse, which is not parin veravim. And this last point is gone is questioned. Amar le Abaye, Abaye said to Rav Yosef, "Achina ein par v'rav." Is it really true that a louse doesn't reproduce? Well, Marmar, but the Brisa says Yosef Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'zan, that Hashem comes and sustains every single member of the animal kingdom. Mikarni re'emim v'ad beitze kinim, from the horns of the re'emim until the eggs of life. Lice. But what we see from the fact that we see eggs of lice is that there is reproduction when it comes to lice. So how does the Gemara answer this? Minahu demikre beitze kinim. No, it's just a species of lice that are called the eggs of lice, but not necessarily showing that they would recently be hatched and reproduced. V'hatanya tefuyeu beitze kinim. But the Bryce also teaches tefuye and eggs of lice. Now, minahu demikre beitze kinim, so the same answer again, that this is a separate species called eggs of lice, but not really talking about the fact that they can't reproduce on their own. Good. Now we said earlier that everyone agrees that when you kill something which is able to reproduce, that you're going to be chayv. Hare parosh, but says the Gemara, but there's the case of a flea, the par of a rava, which reproduces, the tanya, atzad parosh b'shabbos, that someone who traps the flea on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer mechayv, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Yeshua says you're going to be poter in such a case. So how could it be that everyone agrees when we're saying that you kill this tiny insect, as long as it reproduces, then you're going to be chayv? So I'm Ravashi, tida ariga karamis, you're going to come and ask me a contradiction. This whole brice is talking about sad, talking about the laws of trapping. You're telling me about the laws of killing? Why? We can totally make a distinction. Ad kan lo pligi, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua only disagree. Ela demar savar, davar she'in b'mino nitzud chayv, mar savar pater, avalinin hariga, afilu Rabbi Yeshua mode. We could say that whole machlokas is only about whether this is something which is normally trapped, and even if it is normally trapped, do we say that something which is normally trapped is automatically chayv or not? That's a separate machlokas within sad, but when it comes to killing this thing, of course everyone is going to say you are going to be chayv for killing anything that reproduces. Good. And the Gemara goes and quotes the next part of the Mishnah, Hatan l'tzorech chayv, someone who traps them for a positive purpose, meaning for the thing itself, then you are going to be chayav. But if you trapped them for the thing not itself, just to get rid of it, then you're going to be patur. So Matanu, who's the author of this statement in our Mishnah, comes and says, Rabbi Nama Rav, Rabbi Shimon Hisor, Rav Yudas, the name of Rav, it is Rabbi Shimon Damar Malach Hashin Etzricha Legufa, Patur Aleh, who says that you are going to be patur from Malach Hashin Etzricha Legufa. When you're doing it just to get rid of it, then you are going to be patur. Ikadam Asni Lahav, there are some who used this teaching of Rav to say that we are referring to Rabbi Shimon, who says Malach Hashin Etzricha Legufa Patur, by other situations. Now, these cases are the ones that we said are the patur umutters, based on the Mishnah and Idios, and even though generally this is a Pater aval aser by Malach Shin and Tzrich Legufa, so we'd have to figure that out. So Ikad Mas Nilaha, so there are those who teach this statement of that it must be Rabbi Shimon by the other Mishnayos of Hamafis Morfsa B'Shabbos, of someone who pops a pimple on Shabbos, Im Lasos Lapeh, if he's doing it to make an opening Chayav Im Lo Tim Menalecha, but if it's just to remove the pus, then Pater Mantana, who is the author of this statement? Amar Rav Yudah Marav, Rabbi Shimon, he damar Malach Shin and Tzrich Legufa Pater Lev. Ikad Mas Nilaha, and there are some who teach it by the other part of the Mishnah of Hatzad Nachash B'Shabbos, Imis Asek Bo Shelo Yishchenu, so someone who traps a snake on Shabbos, if you're only doing it so that it's not going to bite you, Pater. Imle Refuah, but if you want it for a medical cure, Chayv, then you're going to be Chayv. So Man Tana, who is the author again? Amar Rav Yudah Marav, Rabbi Shimon, he damar Malach Hashin Etzrich Legufa Pater Aleh. So these are just different situations where Rav employed the Shita of Rabbi Shimon of Malach Hashin Etzrich Legufa to explain away certain halachos in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara goes in, discusses the halachos of killing a fish. So says the Gemara, Mer Shmuel Hashola Dag Menayam. So if someone takes a fish from the sea, Kevan Sheyavash Bo Kasela, as soon as there is a dry spot on it, as wide as a sela, chayev, someone's going to be chayev for netilas neshama for killing that fish. Am Rabbi Yosi Baravin Ubein San Snapirin. This rule applies where the dry spot is between its fins. Am Rav Ashi Lo Temi Yavesh Mamish. You don't have to say that it's actually fully dry. El Afilu De Avad Rire. Rather, even when it forms some sort of slime, when someone touches it, the fish is already considered dead. When you take it out of the water, it gets a little slimy and there's some goo and whatever it is, that already makes it considered dead. Now comes the Gemara and has another halacha similar to this. Amar Mar Bar Hamaduri Amar Shmua. Hoshid Yadol Me'abahim, if someone puts his hand into the insides of the animal, the Dilde Ubar Shemeya, and dislocates the embryo, the fetus that was inside of it, you're going to be chayef. My time, why would you be chayef? So Amar Rava, says the Gemara, Baramadure Asperly. So Baramadure explained it to me. Lav Amar Rav Sheshes, did Rav Sheshes not say, Hai man de talash kshusa mehizme vihige, that someone who detaches certain types of shrubs, even though they're not really attached to the ground and they get their nourishment from other shrubs. So in that situation, you're going to be chayef for uprooting something, even though you didn't detach it from the ground itself. So hakanami, so to over here too, by the case of the dislocated embryo, also you're also going to be chayef mishim okir davar migidua, which is a form of kotzer, and that's why you're going to be chayef. So now comes the Gemara and bases more on this principle that we just said. Amar Abaye, Haiman de Talash, someone who takes pitra meuna de chatzpa, someone who takes a fungus from the handle of a pitcher, these mushrooms, v'chai mishim okir davar migidulo, is also going to be chai for okir davar migidulo. Ask the Gemara, though, Masiv Rav Oshaya, Atolish Miachis Nakav Chayiv, Sheino Nakav Pater, but we have this whole concept just a little bit ago. And if someone takes from a flower pot that has a hole in it, meaning it's getting its sustenance from the ground, you're going to be chayev. That's okir davar migidulo, that's kotzer. But if it's not attached to the ground, then it is going to be pater, because we see that only one who takes something which was getting nourishment from the ground is going to be chayev. Otherwise, you're not going to be chayev. So how could we say that in all of these situations, taking the mushroom off the pitcher or taking the baby from inside the animal, that you're going to be chayev for okir davar migidulo? I thought it needs to be directly from the ground itself. So answer the Gemara, no, hasam lav hainu revise, hacha hainu revise. So it says, no, over there by the plant, it's only normal for the plant to get its nourishment from the ground, and that's why you're only going to be chayv in that situation. But over here, by these other cases, it's normal for its nourishment to come from other places. Its growth comes from other ways, and therefore you're going to be chayv even for these other types of things. So this is Daf Kuf Zayin of Abayz. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.